All right, before you get to your episode today, let's fill you in on what's coming up on Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky here. Bucky, what's up?
We're going to talk about Alfred Morris and how his signing impacts the Dallas Cowboys draft plans. We'll talk about perfect pairings in the NFC North and the AFC North, and we also will break down a little bracketology, the Move the Sticks bracket, which guy should have the best NFL career.
Not to mention some Red Star wide receiver talk. Check us out, Move the Sticks, on iTunes, NFL.com/podcast, as well as YouTube.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. We'll introduce everybody. Maurice Jones-Drew, Alex Gelhar, Cardell Jones, Von Bell, all on the way for you. But right now, like we've been doing the last couple weeks here, we're starting right out of the gate with a lightning round. We still need a better name for it than lightning round. But let's go around the table. Alfred Morris to the Dallas Cowboys. Good signing, Maurice Jones-Drew.
I love it. I think it's great. You have a power back now to go with Darren McFadden. It works well.
Alex Gelhar, how sick.
I love it too. I just hope they give him the ball near the goal line. He never gets any of those touches in Washington, so I'm rooting for Freddie Moe.
Oh, we were just arguing about Super Bowl 49, and Alex Gelhar still says that that Russell Wilson and company made the right play. Wrong, Gelhar. Next up, best QB as of Super Bowl 60. Will Russell Wilson ascend all the way to the top? Who will reign as the greatest quarterback of the Super Bowl era 10 years from now?
I still think it's probably going to be Tom Brady.
Maurice Jones-Drew, how say you?
Yeah, there's no one better than him.
I agree with that. The only threat to him right now, in my book, is Aaron Rodgers. If he can win one or maybe two, he might surpass him. And dare I say, if Ben Roethlisberger somehow could win two in his 30s here, he might be in that conversation too. I think that's unlikely, though. Next up, Maurice Jones-Drew doing wonderful work talking draft, path to the draft on NFL Network and beyond. Name one Hall of Famer in the 2016 NFL draft class.
Ooh. Is that Peyton Manning?
No!
This draft class.
Coming up.
This one coming up. Miles Jack.
I'm going to say the same thing. Good Miles for Jack. You, Maurice.
I was thinking of him, too, but I'll say Jalen Ramsey. I've heard a lot of good things about him. I haven't watched him yet myself. I focus more on the offensive side, coming from fantasy, but...
Name, and you said Peyton Manning there. Let's round it out here. Peyton Manning's getting a statue outside of Indianapolis Stadium there. Although he says he's going to retire a Bronco, or at least there's word.
They don't retire with a team. They just retire.
I know.
Everybody always makes this hullabaloo of like, oh, is he going to retire with Team X or Team Y? They don't retire with a team.
What about that, Maurice? Did you retire a Jag?
I signed a one day and retired as a Jag.
Why? Why do you do that, Maurice?
To be honest with you, personally, I was just like, I just wanted to retire, but it makes sense when you spend – I spent the majority of my career with Jacksonville,
right.
So it only made sense to do it. Peyton, I mean, he won a Super Bowl with both. But when you spend majority of your career with one team, obviously the Colts,
yeah.
you should. They deserve, the fans deserve the right to say that you're there.
Which is cool. I was saying more when they go into the hall, it doesn't matter if he goes in.
Oh, you're going to go in the hall.
No, but if he goes,
you're going to go in the hall.
But Peyton specifically retiring as a Bronco is thumbing his nose at the Colts.
Oh, please. No.
Then again, I think this is all for five-year-olds. Who is this for, this retire, sign a contract for one day and then retire?
I don't know.
It's a grown-up.
That's the only contract I ever signed and I didn't get paid. but I figured a statue, they should name the building Peyton's house. I mean, he built that place. That's so disrespectful. You just give me a small statue after I built this big establishment?
All right,
let's dig in. We don't know
that
the statue is going to be small.
It doesn't matter. I don't care how big. It should say Peyton's house on the top of Lucas Oil.
Much to get to. Like I say, we have two Ohio State Buckeyes on the way. I will share with them my dreams of hearing both their names announced by the Pittsburgh Steelers at the draft. I would like to hear Von Bell in round one and Cardell in round three. We'll see how they feel about that.
Hey,
We have a lot of other things to talk about here. Let's go around real quick. You hear their voices. Let's say hello to them on now. You see him on path to the draft. He's positively blowing up. He's the superstar from those Jags and then the Raiders. It's Maurice Jones-Drew, everybody.
Oh, man, you got theme music now, too? I got to move up the ranks here.
Be quiet. Why is it going?
Yeah, it was a little disrespectful, Gelhar.
I was just impressed.
Talking over his intro music.
Don't talk over
I also
intro.
Didn't know how long the intro song went.
Just let it go. You want me to play it again?
Now on. I mean, if you want to, I'll be quiet this time.
No, it's okay.
All right.
All right. Well, we'll press forward and say hello. Also, you read his fine pages on NFL.com. NFL Fantasy Live. It's Alex Gelhar. What's the poop with you, fella?
Excited to be here again. Had to take a break. I'm also doing the top 20 games of 2015 countdown with Elliot Harrison, who I think's popped on this show a few times before and has done NFL Now with you. We're at game 14 right now.
True. I'm sorry for not mentioning that.
No, that's okay. It's just an off-season series.
It's okay, Sheck. I didn't know he worked here until like halfway.
I still didn't believe it. I just kept showing up on the White Couch of Truth, man.
Hey, I also asked a bunch of big-time NFLers, J.J. Watt and Steve Smith and Rex and Rob Ryan and Matt Ryan and a bunch of other guys, who they hope wins this upcoming battle between Batman and Superman. It's coming to the theaters this weekend. You can go to YouTube or NFL.com or I think later in the week on NFL Network, you'll see the results of their responses to that. Who are you guys rooting for in that one? Maurice, I start with you.
I have a tattoo of one. So.
You do, eh?
I do.
I have no idea which. I'm going to guess. This says a lot about a man.
It does
say
a lot.
About 20 years ago, it was in vogue to ask people which woman on Gilligan's Island they went to, and somehow this was insightful about who you were more if you went for Marianne or Ginger. The correct answer is Marianne, of course. But then The Office sort of yielded a similar thing, I can't remember their names, Pam or the other woman from the other office who's Foxy. Who wound up on Parks and Rashida Jones was the actress's name,
but I can't remember her name in the show.
Rashida Jones is the correct answer there. And now we have this one, Batman or Superman. Philosophically, which way do you lean there, Gelhar?
Philosophically, I would go with the self-made man in Bruce Wayne. Only he inherited his parents' money and things like that, but in terms of superhero and ability and stuff like that, he wasn't a god that came from an alien planet.
It seems impossible.
However, in the fight, if Superman wanted to, he would win.
Superman, when he wants to, right, he's made of steel.
But that's what makes him super, is he doesn't win and he doesn't.
He shoots lasers from his eyes after
all.
How could he possibly lose that fight? By the way, I watched Gotham on Monday night. This is a good TV show. It's all about the rise of all the bad guys and like Riddler and Penguin. This is a good show. I'm going to start tuning in on a regular basis. I'm going to guess, what do I know about Maurice? Maurice is a Batman guy.
I would have guessed Batman too.
I have Superman because I'm outside. I'm not, like you said, he was out of this world, so am I.
Ah, there we go.
I get it, but I'm surprised by that actually because you're somebody who wasn't heavily recruited. You weren't a foregone conclusion to be a star.
I had my grandpa when I was a child gave me a Superman shirt, and he told me when you wear this, you play like Superman. And so until the day I retired, I wore a Superman shirt under my pads.
Is that true?
Oh yeah.
Neat. So, I like that story.
So I had one from the age of 8 all the way till 29.
Well, when we played a little 2-on-2 basketball in Indianapolis, I felt that you did. When I bounced into you, it really was like you were made of steel because I bounced off you by about 6-8 feet there. It was embarrassing.
Sheck is unbelievable.
Hey, yeah. Maurice, great work on Path to the Draft, like I say, shaking things up there. And your mock draft is available now at NFL.com too. But all right, you mentioned Peyton, and they should build – they should name the stadium after him. And I don't think that's absolutely ridiculous, as a matter of fact, sponsorship opportunities aside. But who should be, this is one of my favorite questions, is who should the MVP trophy be named after? Everybody knows the Heisman Trophy because it has a name and that iconic pose to it. And yet the NFL, and the Stanley Cup, you can imagine it immediately. The Lombardi Trophy has a cool name and cool look. NFL MVP trophy, it's the most popular sport, and yet nobody could tell you what it looks like. It's almost hard to tell you who's won it because it doesn't have a cool name to it.
I thought the MVP is like a smaller version of the Lombardi. Isn't that what it looks like?
I don't think so. That would be weird.
They changed it. I think they changed all the awards recently.
They're
all holding those same like shield tower things at NFL Honors now.
Dumb. Let's fix this now. Let's punch up America's Greatest Game by giving a better MVP trophy, and it should be molded in the form of one of our great legends. Who should it be? And you can say yourself if you want, Maurice Jones-Drew. Gelhar, how say you?
Me first? Oh, man, I was hoping you'd go to MJD so I had more time to try and sift through NFL history and who I thought would be deserving, but I could see it modeled after or named after Jim Brown.
Jim that would Brown, be not yeah. bad.
He's
not
one of the all-time greats when the NFL first hit its height of popularity, and few players, maybe Jerry Rice, were ever as dominant as Jim Brown was against his level as of competition for such a sustained period of time.
Well, I've asked I've asked a bunch of NFLers this question too, and that's also available, I believe, on YouTube. And if you search for it on NFL.com, it'll reveal itself to you. I think Peyton Manning. I think he's won more than anybody else.
Yes,
he's in the conversation. Brett Favre.
I feel like it should just switch every year. So
like, just a new trophy.
If you win the MVP, it should be all right. You just won the Cam Newton MVP, right?
And
then
that's kind of
fun.
Then the next year,
whoever wins it is Aaron Rodgers MVP, and then Tom Brady, and it'd be fun because then it's like you're always competing to keep your name on the trophy. So it'd be that's how you do it nowadays. You don't just go to a legend; you just let the new guys kind of come through with it.
It's the 21st century, after all. They can forge a new trophy every year.
Yeah. You're gonna have to build one, right? Because I get to keep it. If it's mine, I'm gonna keep it.
Right.
Yeah.
So then you could just put my name on it, so we know who had it before you and under the recipient, and then the next year,
yeah.
You keep going
and
on
then
the
you know with the trophy that you have too, the last name on it is gonna be yours.
Exactly.
So that will forever be the Cam Newton trophy.
It's kind of like when you win a fantasy championship and they have all the winners beforehand, mm-hmm. or a Madden Bowl championship like I did, two-time winner. You have that on there, and then you just go on. It's like, oh, look, man, such and such else, he won it too, but I'm holding it.
It's
right
mine
now.
Right now.
Yeah.
All right, so the owners and the coaches and everybody are getting together down in Boca Raton right now. Let's talk about some of those changes. But real quick, back to Alfred Morris for a second. You really do like that, Maurice? You think that's a good – could he be the lead back? I mean,
I just don't know if they have a lead back anymore. I think they want to go to a two-back system. They feel like if you have Darren McFadden, who rushed for 1,000 yards last year, but you give him less carries, keep him healthy – you have Alfred Morris to be, you know, a starter or a spell guy, however you want to do it. I mean, you have a physical runner and Alfred Morris who's going to run through guys and wear down defense, and then McFadden who can be that lightning in a bottle, can take it to the house from anywhere. It gives you the best of both worlds.
They signed Lance Dunbar, too, who's excellent catching passes out of the backfield. He had 21 catches last year through three games before he had suffered a torn ACL. So he's fantastic out of the backfield, and that gives him another element with those two strong and fast guys. And
why is he – correct me if I'm wrong. It strikes me, and I've talked to Alfred Morris a few times, and he is as sort of down to earth or unimpressed by his talent as any NFL player.
He's a humble guy.
Very humble.
Yeah. Well, oh, I thought you were saying he should be aware that he's not that good. No. Why is it that he is a guy who nobody talks about, and yet through all the tumult from RG3 to Kirk Cousins and coaching changes and different philosophies, he just keeps on going. Why do people not respect him? Well, it seems to me, at least.
I think the biggest thing is when you're a running back and you go into a Shanahan system, you automatically are downplayed immediately. Because when you had Aaron Foster, for example, he was an undrafted guy. He does well. We just didn't expect him to do as well. Well, obviously, Alfred Moore goes in 1,600 yards his rookie year. Then after that, it started going down.
It has gone down.
So, too, did his carries, though, as well.
Right.
I mean, it's a weird picture because it was his yardage, it was his carries, and his yards per carry. So we don't quite know what it was. But also, I think what hurt him this past year was it was a new coaching regime, and they wanted to get their guy, and they might have got that in Matt Jones.
Right.
So they kind of, in their offense, downplayed. It happens all the time.
I think it's fun because I always like little melodramas, and now the NFC East. So DeMarco Murray goes to Philly, and now Alfred Morris goes to Dallas. I love that sort of incestuous kind of stuff when teams stay within the division you see them twice a year, and you get to have a little bit of bang with that. But it disappoints me. Your mock draft includes Zeke Elliott to those Dallas Cowboys. Does this preclude them from now taking the kid?
It could. I definitely think it's probably going to in my next one. This is just 0.0. You know, 0.0, that's all we're going to call it. We're not going to call it 1.0. We're just going to call it 0.0. You know? I firmly believe, though, if they didn't take Alfred Morris, that they definitely would have took Ezekiel at 4. So it's going to change a little bit. But the mock draft, I thought – you know, it was just a fun exercise. I was sitting with Ike in Chicago, and we were talking business. And I'm like, Ike, man, we should do a mock draft. It would just be kind of fun to do it. Mm-hmm. So I started mine that day using his computer, looking at some film, checking some guys out. And then he's obviously working on his. I think he just turned his in, so it should be coming up here pretty soon. But it's a fun exercise. I like it.
Speaking of fun exercises, coming up in the next few weeks here, we're going to get back to something we did 2 years ago. It's the all-time draft, this one of 2016. Ah. This is expanding the pool. Same draft order as it is, as it will be in Chicago in a month. Same team needs, same rosters as they exist currently in the NFL. The only difference is we're expanding the pool of eligible players that you can draft from the collegians out there right now to all of time, except for current players. So, as a for instance,
I already know who's going number one in my
book. Dallas Cowboys could select Maurice Jones-Drew as a for instance.
Nah, he ain't going to be there.
Titans need him at number one.
That's right. That's right. You got to put yourself number one, Sheck.
Let's look at this, because I do want to talk about these rule changes. But now that we have your mock draft up here, a few interesting things. Are the Rams – so the Rams have announced in the last week, Jeff Fisher's definitely their man. We know that he's locked in. They're extending him and so on.
Right.
He announces that Austin Davis is their man now.
Oh, Case Keenum.
I mean, Austin
exactly.
Davis. Case Keenum.
We don't know who it is. Same guy. Davis. They're the same guy.
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference. Could be either one. Yes, Case Keenum. I'm sorry. Excuse me, Austin Davis. That Case Keenum is their guy.
Yes.
Now they announced, too, they're sticking with those uniforms, with those bum, ugly, bronzy Notre Dame-y looking uniforms.
I do think they said that there might be a change in the future.
In
though,
19,
for,
right?
For this year, yeah. This year, they're keeping it the same.
You have a lot going on, man.
Right.
Think about that. You got to move the whole – everybody has to move to L.A. You got too much
stadium,
going on.
Like,
yeah, there's a lot going on.
New practice facilities, figuring everything out.
I've offered my services. My wizardry lies in the area of uniforms. I've offered to help them design something.
If they go back to the old L.A. Rams in 19, that'd be awesome.
That would
That's
be great.
What you want.
I
That's
agree.
Want.
The Deacon Jones white and blues, or
yeah,
they could go with the Jack Youngblood gold and blues
yeah.
of the 70s. Either
that's
way
what,
would be
I'm
fine. You, though, suggest, here's an outside-the-box one here, Connor Cook of Michigan State
yeah.
to be their draft pick. What insight do you have on this?
Well, to me, just talking with a lot of coaches, a lot of people have been moved up to the third quarterback, right? And so, obviously, in the draft, you have I have Jared Goff going to the Browns, Carson Wentz going to the Niners, and the Rams need a quarterback.
Well, conventional wisdom was until – I think this is literally the first time I've seen anybody advance this – because it was Paxton Lynch was the guy.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people, he's kind of fallen down. And I don't know why. I really didn't ask why. To me, it doesn't matter. But I just feel like when you have a pro-ready guy who's played on a big stage before, you got to think, you're coming to L.A. So you have to, you know, when you get these kids from schools that haven't been on the big stage, it's tough for them to go out here and see these lights. I just remember playing New York, and guys on my team like, oh, this is New York City. Whereas me, I was in L.A., so I was like, shoot, I should have been drafted here because this is what I do. I love the big lights, right? So you need a guy that's able to stand up when the lights are shining bright. And I think Connor Cook is that guy. I think he's played in big-time games. You obviously at Michigan State, you played Ohio State, you played in the college playoffs. You've done some things. He's the most winningest quarterback out of Michigan State. You think about the guys that are Kirk Cousins, Brian Hoyer, all these big-name quarterbacks that have come out, and he has more wins than them.
Wait a right? second. The winning thing, we have to stop this.
But this is what I'm going to tell you. The reason I'm going to say that is he doesn't do anything crazy. He doesn't, like, he's not going to wow you with his arm, but he doesn't make mistakes either. And so if you think about the Rams, their issue last year, they turned the ball over way too much. Their quarterback was making horrible decisions, things like that. So why not bring a guy in, which I like to call, I call him the bus driver. Right. I don't know if you guys ever had to take the bus to school, but the bus driver always picked you up on time.
Yep.
He always got you from A to B. You were safe. You were good to go. That's what you need. I mean, the Broncos showed it best. Peyton Manning had to be the bus driver. He couldn't be the NASCAR guy anymore. He couldn't be dad taking the son to school, driving his fancy car. He had to take the yellow bus. And that's how you win.
I hear you. But how much – I mean, because there was a lot of talk in the last – or there has – continues to be the last 4 months or so that Connor Cook – not being a captain in Michigan State is a big deal. That means he's not likable. How much realistically does it matter to grown-ups? Not forget the college
yeah,
thing.
Right.
How much does it matter to grown-ups playing pro football that the QB is a likable fella?
I don't think it's a likable. I just think that people have to be able to be around you. Right? So, for example, a lot when we drafted Blaine – a lot of people were skeptical because he had some issues coming out of college that, you know, people thought he was an a-hole or whatever. But Blaine was Blaine. Like, he never changed who he was. He always came out there with a good attitude. Regardless if you didn't hang out with him at night, that just happens. People don't get along. But I think when you talk about Connor Cook, he's a guy that's going to show up to work every day. That's all I care about. I don't care if I like you or not. As long as you show up to work, when we get on the field, you give me the best opportunity to win. That's all I care about. And so I think for the Rams, the L.A. Rams, is that that's what they need. They need a guy to be able to just check the ball down, no one to check it down, no one to give it to
and
Gurley.
Take care of his business. Take care of his, like you said, not make mistakes.
Yeah, as long as you don't make mistakes, I feel like the Rams, that's what they're away. Case Keenum, I get it. He was a hot quarterback in college, went to Houston, did all that with the Texans. I played against him a couple times with the Texans, but he gets erratic. And erratic gets you to 8-8. All right, so if we're trying to get over 8-8 or 7-9, I need a guy that's going to take care of the ball. He's not going to wow you, and that's okay. You have Todd Gurley to wow people. You have Tavon Austin to wow people. I just need a guy that's going to be able to get those guys the ball.
Look at what Teddy Bridgewater just did in Minnesota. He drove the bus, handed it off to Adrian Peterson when he did, let that defense take care of business. They ended up beating the Packers for the NFC North title, and we're in the playoffs, and we're a missed field goal away from going to the division.
Hey,
round.
Drive the bus, Shaq.
I hear you, man. In a situation like that, the model is within the division to refer to the Seattle Seahawks. You don't need – I mean, Russell Wilson is dynamic and special in the way he makes plays in the second quarter. The thing about Russell Wilson that people want to knock him, by the way, just a quick side note because we just wrapped up the my ranking of quarterbacks by the decade through the Super Bowl era up and through Super Bowl 60 even. And people – everybody's got their prejudices against this guy or that. I can't believe all the negativity about Cam Newton. It's still the same old stuff. You thought that people might have been shamed out of that stuff, but no, there's still a huge segment of the population that's like, Cam's selfish and doesn't care about anybody but himself, and he fades on the big stage, and he's never won anything, and he's only had one good season. And like, have you been paying attention at all? What are you talking about? But so that's one, and Russell Wilson is just a game manager who's never done anything. But to me, he has that sort of I can't think of not the Schwarzenegger character, but the T-2000. What is it? Who's
the T-1000 or the
T-1000 is T-2,
yeah,
right?
T-2.
Robert Patrick,
exactly.
Right? That he's got that sort of vibe about him. Like no matter what you do to the Seahawks and Russell Wilson, it just seems like, man, you can't kill that guy. Like he just keeps
right.
on going, and
especially
that's the worst thing
year.
To play against. Is like, man, we cannot get this guy off his game. He's just going to keep on coming.
I think the biggest thing is, you know, when he has a running game, he's really explosive because he can use his legs and he can do the play action pass. But to me, the biggest thing is when the game's on the line, you know he's going to make a play. I don't know how he's going to do it.
I know.
We watched it on the White Couch of Truth. Like, yep. I'm like, they're down. It's over. And then against the Pittsburgh Steelers, he brings them. It's just like, how does this guy do it? I don't know what it is. He just has what we like to call that moxie.
Right. And like you said, the T-1000 comparison is good this year because traditionally he always had that running game. He could do the play action boot. Mm-hmm. And he could scramble on his own. But this year he lost his running game because Marshawn went down. Thomas Rawls went down for periods. So Russell actually just had to sit in the pocket and just shred defenses that way, which was a part of his game he didn't really have as adeptly as he did this year. And he torched defenses the second half of the year just from standing in the pocket. He wasn't even scrambling.
I'm surprised that we don't see on Maurice Jones-Drew's list here one Devontae Booker. That's who I love, man. Can you imagine if the Seahawks, here's the wild card. You mentioned that running game. What if at 26 they go for Booker out of Utah?
I don't know what his knee is like, and I don't know about his pro day. I haven't got a chance to see any of those. But like as I was going through this, a lot of things, when you look at the Seahawks were really good when Brandon Mebane was playing well, mm-hmm. right? When he was playing well, they can get to the passer. They could do a lot of things. He's the key to that defense. Now, people think it's Michael Bennett, and I think he's a really good player because he can move around. But when Mebane was rolling and he was beating that center and guard up the A-gap, you notice everyone was getting pressure. They were able to stop the run really well. So he goes to San Diego, I think, in free agency. You pick a guy just like him. I mean, a clone. I want to say, Andrew Billings is a clone of Brandon Mebane, a quick guy off the ball. You see his explosions when he runs the 40. It just feels like, especially if I'm Pete Carroll, and that's my baby. Like, say, if I'm an offensive guy, and we need a lot of guys left on all, I'm going to make sure I get the best guy I can to fit.
Let me tell you something. I agree with you. You have at number 26, Andrew Billings of Baylor going to the Seahawks there to fill that spot for the Hawks. I have a hunch now. Von Bell is attractive to Pittsburgh and to other teams that are in need of more athleticism at the back end there. I wouldn't mind getting him as a Steelers fan, but I have a hunch they're going Andrew Billings in that spot.
Ooh, the Seahawks or the Steelers?
The Steelers.
No. The Steelers are going all secondary.
They got to go.
I don't think they are. I think they like Senquez Golson, who they took last year.
They might, but they need. You lost Blake, so you need to replace him. And then they also – they got to replace that, some of those safeties. I mean, they had some bad play. I know
they did. You're right.
What's the safety that you guys just signed from Carolina? Mike Mitchell,
yeah.
Mike Mitchell. I know he's good. You paid him a lot of money, but he's kind of questioned back there. I mean, he has some good plays. I was watching him versus the Raiders this year. He had a couple turnovers, but he also made some boneheaded plays too. I mean, we saw the one against the Bengals in the playoffs where he just let A.J. Green run right in front of him and catch a touchdown. But
that was one of the weirdest plays that you'll ever see. It's very particular. You have to go back and find it, but it really is. What are you doing, Mike Mitchell?
There's no one there.
Your heels are on the back line in the end zone. What are you doing?
Exactly.
But anyway.
But talking with Ike, I mean, and, you know, Ike obviously is real involved in the Pittsburgh organization, the Steelers organization. They really feel like they need to get another corner. They feel like they're a corner and a second, like a safety away from really making some change. And so you never know. You can see D linemen because that helps your secondary. And from talking with my agent and a couple other coaches, a lot of people feel like you can get a starter in the fifth round defensively in this draft because it's so deep.
Everybody said defense. The defensive line is the deepest part of this draft. So, you know, looking at the cost evaluation there, like it makes more sense to get a guy like in the secondary at the back end of the first round because – when they pick again in round two or round three, they could still get a guy that's going to be a solid starter for them.
Couple more things with Maurice's mock draft here to dig in on. The Oakland Raiders, everybody is going gaga for them because of what they've done in free agency here. You have Eli Apple of Ohio State going to Oakland there. Either way, I mean, by the way, if Zeke Elliott does fall
He's there,
they've got to take him.
But I don't, to be honest, I heard that there's a couple teams that if he falls, Eagles are one.
Eagles, yep.
Eagles, the Bears are another. A lot of people haven't.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
The Bears are really talking about if he's there, and this is just from, you know, people just out there in Chicago talking. If he's there, they're going to have real conversation about him.
Well, because they, you know, the thing is a lot of people were high on Jeremy Langford last year, but the Bears made moves this offseason that make you believe, and the way they split up those carries with him and Kadeem Carey last year, that they're not sold as Langford as the future or true centerpiece of that offense, and Ezekiel Elliott is a centerpiece of an offense, man.
The Dolphins at 13,
yep,
they'll take him because they can't sign him back to save their life right now.
Yeah,
in Oakland.
Yeah.
So the reason I put Eli
– that's why in the all-time draft, as I map that out, they're looking at names like Tony Dorsett and Barry Sanders right now.
Oh, you got to take –
Earl Campbell out of Texas might be where
be
they
good
look.
One.
I think Barry would fit their system because they're in that shotgun zone deal. Oh, but the reason I went Eli Apple with the Raiders because that's what kind of corners they like. They like those 6'2", 6'1", 200-pound corners, guys that are going to be –
put them on the other side of Sean Smith.
How about
yikes.
That? But now from what I'm hearing, he's moving up the boards too. They say he might go in the top 10.
Eli Apple continues to ascend.
He continues to go. I mean, so you can see him in Tampa. People are talking about Tampa liking him. You know, Vernon Hargraves can go to the Cowboys now, so they got another back. You know, I mean, so there's going to be a lot of change in the
2.0. I would be surprised if the Cowboys went edge there, too, at number four now.
Who do you think?
I mean, I've seen Bosa there.
No,
they
don't
get Buckner. Like, they might take an edge.
I wouldn't go Bosa. And the reason
I wouldn't go Bosa, because
there's a lot of – if you ask Ohio State players about it, now they say Bosa's a hard worker. He's going to do a really good job. But they all firmly believe that because Noah Spence was there, he had a ton of sacks because of that pressure from the other side. Mm-hmm. If you look at when Noah Spence wasn't there, and people say, well, they're sliding the line to him, they're doing this. Well, when you're a dog is what we like to call it. When you're that guy, it doesn't matter what they do. You're going to go and get pressure. You know, look at Von Miller. People slide the line to Von Miller all the time, even before DeMarcus Ware got there and he was getting after people. So when you go from 13 sacks or how many sacks he had when Noah Spence to 5. That's an issue for me.
He was. I did see somebody made a cut up of all the times he was getting triple blocked, though, and that's hard. I mean, I know if
it's
you're
college, but it's college, though. See, you have to realize the difference between college and the pros is there's on the line. There's probably two guys that aren't going to play football ever.
Oh, absolutely.
If you think about it in these terms, it's hard to get away from the recent evidence, and it's not being a prisoner to the moment. But in the copycat league, you kind of do have to observe that defense. I get tired of people saying defense wins championships because that's not exactly true. But it's hard to avoid the reality that the Panthers and Broncos just reached the Super Bowl. I'm not talking about made the playoffs and were really good. I'm talking about the teams that played in the Super Bowl. The year before that, the Patriots were more offensive. But with Darrelle Revis, that was the missing piece to them finally getting over the hump against who? The mighty Seahawks. Seattle Seahawks defense. The year before that, the Seahawks housed the offense-heavy Denver Broncos. The year before that, the mighty 49ers and the historically sound defensive Baltimore Ravens. So it's hard to argue with that. All that being said, the Dallas Cowboys, you're right that they should that they should take Miles Jack is what that's they should what, do.
Yeah. Oh, they could take him too.
But I could see Cleveland taking Jack at two as well.
Maybe, but Zeke Elliott or I mean, to me also the if I'm Jerry sitting there, and by the way, Jerry doesn't get nearly enough credit. The Greg Hardy signing was
it was a great football signing.
What you didn't know was would he behave himself, and he didn't behave himself.
But what people fail to realize, if you really watch the tape and what it went down that year, or after he – remember he tore Tom Brady apart. I mean, two sacks back-to-back, was hitting him all over the place. After that, I started watching to see, because one of my good friends works in the organization, he's like, just watch some of the games. So I started watching him. He was getting doubled and triple teamed as well, so they started to shut him down, and they had no one else. Because remember, the young kid,
Randy Gregory
wasn't playing, and then they had the DeMarcus
Lawrence, right?
Lawrence, he wasn't really doing anything, and then Mincy was. I mean, they just didn't have the connection. So people were like, look, we're just going to double team him, and we're going to force everyone else to beat him. So now you're talking about Joey Bosa getting double teamed to college to a guy like Greg Hardy. Getting double teamed the league.
Right. I wasn't saying that was the best fit. I was just throwing out some of the edge.
No, I hear you. I'm with you, Gelhard, but I also feel like if you are Jerry Jones and you think Tony Romo's window's closing, we don't know about who the future QB is going to be. Let's, for the here and now, what puts you in better shape to make a real run in 2016 and maybe 2017? Laquon Treadwell or Zeke Elliott? Imagine Zeke Elliott. What if Zeke Elliott gives you anything close to what Todd Gurley gave the Rams? As the Cowboys are presently constituted, they're not going to lose a ton of shootouts with anybody doing it that way.
They're not going to lose. I mean, you think about the playoffs, and this is the other thing. Offensively, you can get to the playoffs, right? You can get your team in the playoffs with a lot of offense production. But once it starts to get cold, you have to have a running game and a solid defense. I mean, before the Cowboys had this, like, terrible fall last year, remember, they were in the divisional round against the Packers and beat them. The game was over. He caught the ball. I don't care what they say. It was a catch, right? And so now a couple, you know, this is one of those things where I just think this is a blessing more than it is a curse.
Yeah, 2015, just a mulligan year
for the
Cowboys.
Yeah, so now you're the number four. I might as well go get the best player available and just add to my roster and go on and so forth, right? So why not get Ezekiel Elliott and then add, because we know we're going to be back to where we got to because Dez is going to be healthy. We might go get Treadwell.
And it's a defensively heavy draft here too. So if you take one of the few breakout blue chip five-star guys or however you want to describe Zeke Elliott, if he's that much of a difference maker, boy, it'd be awfully hard, but a juicy spot for the Cowboys to sit in real quick, and then we're moving on. I'm curious, explain to people, because this is the time of the year annually where football fans get awfully pretentious about how good we got to have Laquan. We got to take Laremy Tunsil. Oh, he's going to be – you don't know. You don't know about offensive linemen, how good one is. Why is Miles Jack – so desire. Why is every guy in the NFL, why every personnel guy, just going absolutely gaga over Miles Jack?
Because there's not one player that I think has been in the league that you can compare him to, right? So if you think about it, this kid has played cornerback, he's played nickel, he's played safety, middle linebacker, he's rushed the passer his freshman year, and then he played running back. He's the most versatile player in the league. And when you can add to that, especially when you play teams like the Patriots like to spread you out, or you play teams that like to, you know, the Houston Texans, and you can have a linebacker cover receiver or a linebacker cover a tight end, and it's not a mismatch, I think it makes your defense that much more better. So when I have him going to Jacksonville, obviously I'm biased. I want him to go to Jacksonville. I just don't know if he'll be there. I mean, this kid coming off a meniscus repair jumps a 40-inch vertical. Not only does he do that,
he's explosive.
He's explosive. He plays with an edge, an attitude that a lot of guys don't play with. And he brought that to UCLA. Like, he changed the culture of UCLA by himself. So you have a guy that can change the culture of your team immediately. He takes nothing from no one. And that's another thing. When I was talking to coaches about him, they're like, well, what do you think? I was like, well, I went to school one day to watch him because I heard from a couple of my boys, like, oh, we got this linebacker. He's really good. I'm like, oh, we'll see. So I went there, and I'm trying to figure out where he is. And I'm like, where's Jack? Like, where's he doing? You doing one-on-ones? Is he hurt or something? Like, oh, no, he doesn't do one-on-ones over here with the running backs and tight ends. He goes with the receivers. And I looked. He's man-to-man locking guys up at the line of scrimmage. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. So then his sophomore year, he covers Nelson Aguilar, who is a first-round pick, right? Held him to two catches for, like, 20 yards or something. Covered him man-to-man by himself the whole game. So when you get a linebacker that can obviously stop the run and then play like that in the passing game, that's what makes him so intriguing. It's like, I wouldn't be surprised if they think about him at one for the time.
I was just going to say.
He becomes like a chess piece then, like Polamalu was for the Steelers, or like Tyrann Mathieu is, and Dan Buchanan for the Cardinals. Like, They can just slot him around wherever to create mismatches in their favor.
And he's really smart. And that's the other thing. A lot of people, he's able to understand defense where he fits. I mean, I was watching some of his highlights today. He's covering guys in the slot, breaking on outs, like a DB. Then against UNLV, when all their corners went down, so 30's out there playing corner and cover three. I'm like, what else do you want? He's 240 pounds, and he's probably going to run a 4-4, 4-3, and he can cover guys in the slot.
Well, and he has two first names.
Yeah.
And I wonder when you mention his number, what number he'll wear then, given that. What will his official position be? Linebacker, he'll wear number 40?
He'll probably wear, 40 or 50.
Because he can't wear 50 in line and be a defensive back. They have those weird rules in the NFL about like what number
you're allowed to wear. But you can play zone or man, you can still go out there. They don't know.
All right.
He'll be a linebacker, and he'll just move out. I'm assuming he'll wear a 40, though.
Speaking of don't know, apparently Skip Bayless doesn't know Dave Damashek because my quarterback rankings, if you're not aware, what we've been talking about here on the show a little bit over the last couple weeks and on NFL.com all last week, it ran and got a lot of good and negative feedback from fans. That's how we like it. But Arjuna behind the glass there. So they took the list, and here's what I did, Maurice, and to any listener who isn't aware. As of, I think it's interesting that in decade-long increments, how much our assumptions about who's the best ever change.
Right.
Obviously, as time goes by. So I did, as of Super Bowl 10, who are the best quarterbacks of all time? Now let's expand that by 10 years. Super Bowl 20, we did it up to Super Bowl 50, at which point I had Tom Brady ahead of Joe Montana. And then I projected ahead to Super Bowl, and then John Elway 3, and then Aaron Rodgers 4, and people were very upset about that one. In particular, then I projected ahead to Super Bowl 60, people also upset about that. But the Super Bowl 50 list was put in front of by our old pal, Molly Karam, who used to work here, of course, now is over there on First Take at ESPN. She put the list in front of Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless.
Ooh.
And here's what the old Skip had to say.
The gentleman who compiled this list, Dave Damashek of NFL.com.
Oh, Dave Damashek, yep.
Damashek, is that how you pronounce it?
That's so disrespectful. that's all I need to hear there. I don't want to hear anything else. Like, I'm upset now. Now we're going to have to go and Skip Bayless check.
He's a journalist. He doesn't ask a question. That's as basic as it gets. How do I say this guy's name before we check, go on the air?
They don't answer questions on that show. They fire off hot takes. That's what they do.
Dave Damashek.
Damashek, is that how you say his name? Skip, we were colleagues once at ESPN together.
Woo!
No, Stephen A.
Not to him. You were just a janitor.
A little bit more from Skip there.
I don't just have a problem with Aaron Rodgers at number four. I am dumbfounded by Aaron Rodgers at number four. I don't care how talented a quarterback is as you watch him. I'm going to rank his career via his performance, his achievement. Mm-hmm. And I will give you this. Aaron Rodgers did play in and win one Super Bowl. And he was really good in that Super Bowl game, even though Troy Polamalu shouldn't have even tried to play in the Super Bowl game. That's the fourth best quarterback on this list behind Brady, Montana, and Elway? You are kidding me. That's Stephen A. Smith think. I think Dave has been watching our show too much because that's just saying he's a bad man.
Yeah, you're so definitely watching the First Take tape, aren't you?
Listen, that's where I get all my opinions.
Check me out. You ready for this show?
Yes.
If Skip Bayless has a problem, you compile your own list, and then you make sure you shoot it at us on Twitter, and then we'll check it out. I really don't believe he knows what he's talking about either. I think he's gone brain dead too, because he just yells. That's all he does is yell. And
stop saying two and also, Maurice, because then that suggests that you believe that about me. Maybe you do.
I'm saying let him make his own list, and let's dissect what he has to say, dissect.
Here's the thing. Chris Wessling and I have had this discussion before too, which I think what your list does smartly is also projects a little bit, because for a guy like Aaron Rodgers, his career isn't over yet. You know, his NFL storybook is far from being written. And Skip's argument was like, I'm looking at the career. Well, great. Good for you. You can look back at somebody with four Super Bowls and be like, man, he sure was a great player. But being able to analyze what somebody's doing on the field in the here and now, what that could foretell in the future, I think is a different part of analyzing the game. And it's a disservice to yourself and to your fans and your listeners to not be able to make a statement like, MJ, you can back this up. After a couple games of watching Todd Gurley last year, and this is where Wesley and I had this discussion because we got heat on Twitter, was we said Todd Gurley's one of the best backs in the NFL. after just a couple games on the field last year.
No, definitely.
It was evident, and I don't have any problem making that claim now. Like, it doesn't serve me anything.
Oh,
doing my job.
You should have heard the heat I got a couple years ago, Maurice, when I said Le'Veon Bell is the best running back. What a homer. What's he ever? I said, all right, you wait and see what he's
doing. And then all of a sudden, now everybody drafts him.
Look, you know, this is what we all do for a living here is watch this game a lot, and I think Aaron Rodgers fits at that spot in the list. Obviously, if in his next 7-8 years he never gets another title, will he maybe slide down a little bit? Sure.
I would have Roethlisberger over Rodgers right now.
Would you?
And the reason I would have that is by the play, right? Because Roethlisberger, he plays – Aaron Rodgers only been banged up a couple times. You see the way he plays through things, and he has more championships. If we're going to do Super Bowl best quarterback, the number one thing has to be championships. How many have you gotten to? How many of you?
People don't like that, Maurice. They seem to forget that because people go too far in the other direction with that counter argument because it makes them seem smart to say, you're just ring counting. So you're saying Trent Dilfer's better than Dan Marino?
No, I didn't say that. No one said that because Trent Dilfer didn't win the Super Bowl.
I'm giving you the argument that I always get when I start citing. Yeah, it does matter if you win the Super Bowl.
This is the worst thing that people say because I think Trent Dilfer is the only quarterback after winning the Super Bowl to not play for that team the next year.
Manning's going to join that now, but because he retired.
I'm talking about, but still playing, right? So how good were you then? After you win a Super Bowl, they let you go. I mean, let's be honest. So he's out of that conversation. What I'm saying is guys that, like, you have to have the numbers, right? So say, for example, Marino had so many years. He has all the numbers, but he didn't win the ship, mm-hmm. right? Aaron Rodgers has the numbers. He has the years. He won one. Roethlisberger has the number of the years. He's won, what, three?
Two.
Went to three. Went to three.
Got lucky in the one. I know Sheck doesn't like hearing
Which
that.
One?
I don't like
40.
The first one.
With Seattle?
Yeah. He wasn't.
How did
he
get lucky in that one?
I'm just saying.
He didn't win it, but he didn't lose it. But he got it.
But I'm saying that game is in the mystique in the lore of the NFL with lots of question marks.
I want, like, as what? A response, like Arjuna, do you have it? I asked you to get that for me. I want Roethlisberger's answer when I talked to him on this show. About whenever anybody cites Super Bowl 40, do you have that, Arjuna?
I don't have it.
What happened? What's the mistake?
There were the questionable calls. There was whether or not his dive was actually in the end zone.
He had the worst QB rating for a winning quarterback in Super Bowl history.
I love Big Ben.
But I mean, wasn't that one of his second year or something?
It was his second year. And as I always point out, look at the two games that immediately preceded. Look at what he did in Indianapolis and then Denver, and they don't go to the. He's the best player on the field. Save Troy Polamalu for the Steelers.
But what I'm saying, like, you talk about Elway, right? You talk about Elway. Elway had been there. How long was he with the Broncos until he won one?
He got whooped four times in the Super Bowl before he won.
But more impressive is that he got those three teams in the 80s mm-hmm. to the Super Bowl because those were some bum rosters.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. So that's why he goes up, right? Because he was able to take teams. When you go to Peyton
if you think Aaron Rodgers.
Peyton Manning, to me, goes down. The Super Bowl that he got the MVP, he didn't deserve it. And that's no disrespect. He knows he didn't deserve it. Because
Dominic Rhodes. That's exactly right. And Aaron Rodgers, so I know, Gelhar, you're a Packers fan. Real quick.
I do try to strip myself of bias when looking at things like this.
I don't think you should. I think bias is fine. Don't be ashamed of who you are, Alex Gelhar. Don't let these cynics. I know. I appreciate your attempt to be clear-headed about this, as I did too. In fact, I don't want to put the Steelers up there because then when I put them up there, then people say I'm biased. I was really trying to do objective.
Who you don't have up there? Isn't it? Is it the Snake, the Raiders quarterback?
I had him in there for a little while.
How many did he win? Three?
In the past decades.
No, he won one Super Bowl. He played in one Super Bowl.
Who won? Plunkett was the one that won all of them.
He won two. Yeah, he won two.
He should definitely be up there.
No.
What do you mean, no?
He should be in the Hall of Fame, that's for sure. But he shouldn't be in the top 10 all time.
Have Cam Newton in the top 10 all time.
Cam Newton as of Super Bowl 60, Maurice. That's all.
10 years from now.
Yeah.
10 years from now.
We don't know.
Of course we don't know. That's why I did this list, to speculate.
I'd rather you put Bortles in there than if you want
One more thing on the Rodgers thing.
Jameis Winston should be in there then, depending on how
I almost put Jameis in there. I have Russell Wilson at number 10 there, and people were upset about that.
But he didn't throw the ball a lot.
I know, but imagine if I had Jameis on there after 1 year. People really would have gone
so
crazy.
What? That's how you get it.
Gelhar, the thing with Rodgers is this. First of all, just like Elway and Marino and Brady, too, should be on this list, even though he's had Gronk and Randy Moss at different points in his career, has largely had some crummy to, or mediocre talent at best there. Aaron Rodgers, this thing, you know, finally Jordy Nelson proved himself to be a piece that couldn't be removed from the equation.
The
but before
Jenga.
That, right, that's right, there's the Jenga piece. But before that, in hindsight now, how good really were Greg Jennings and Donald Driver and the guys that he was out there? Aaron Rodgers has made those and a bum offensive line. He has carried those Packers teams. And by the way, it is favorable to this generation versus 70s guys and 80s guys. Back in the 70s, the norm was to throw 15 to 25 interceptions. That's just the way it was, and nobody was really throwing 40 touchdown passes a season. So you have to assume that, you know, there's an advantage for Rodgers and the current guys. But that being said, Aaron Rodgers, for as much as he slings it around and the big numbers and the types of passes he throws, he's not dinking and dunking like Brady and
he's
Peyton.
He's not hitting wide open guys. He's
I mean, he's pushing it. And he never gets it. I mean, he goes 40 and 8. I mean, that's about what he goes 40 and 8 just about every – he doesn't get picked off. It's a historic pace. His interception to – his touchdown to interception ratio is the best in history by a lot.
Well, one of my biggest things is numbers do lie. Numbers can lie. They can inflate some things. And also, if you're on a winning team, you're always in 4 minute, it can deflate some things. So when Skip's saying, like, you know, you're just using your eyes, that's what you're supposed to use. That's how you determine who's good or not. Because, right, again, you can have a guy, and I know the Jags fans aren't going to like it, but you have a guy like Bortle who threw 35 touchdowns, but I want to say, like, other than seven of them, they were trailing.
Yeah.
So you're always throwing the ball. So your number should be
he
great.
He was always putting him in the hole.
Yeah. So you should be throwing 4,000 yards, 35 touchdowns if you're always in the hole, right?
And that's why people say, like, oh, Aaron Rodgers never comes back in the fourth quarter. He's always leading in the fourth quarter. When's he supposed to come
He's
back?
He's often out in the fourth quarter,
exactly,
as a matter of fact. And by the way, I forget exactly. I think I say those numbers. I think he was like 36 and 8 this year,
yeah,
in what was considered which
a
considered
bad year.
His
right.
worst year. Like, well, now he's been shown, he's been exposed, he's so mortal now. Like, he threw 8 interceptions over 16 games. With, is he really exposed now?
With the slowest wide receiving core in the NFL, with, you know, banged up Randall Cobb.
Oh my gosh,
you
guys paid Randall Cobb all that money and he showed that he
I think,
was
yeah.
number two.
I think he was injured more than they let on, though.
I think he was a number two.
So he is. I'm not doubting that. Okay. He's a great piece as a number two. But then some of those things in his playoff run, like you're saying that going to the Super Bowls and winning the Super Bowls. You can't fault Rodgers for that game in Seattle 2 years ago.
Yes, you can.
No, no.
Yes, you
His
can.
Last two losses to say as
the one to the Seahawks. You got to take that game over. Once you feel them coming back, you got to take it over. That was your fault. If I'm the quarterback, I've been in the games.
The botched fake field goal and then the botched special.
Listen,
I've been in games. His coach pulling him out on fourth down on the
I've
goal
been
line
in,
several
I've
times.
Been in games. I've been in games where the quarterback has changed the play. Because he didn't like.
I think he's done that with McCarthy before too.
And I know Aaron Rodgers has done it because I played against him when he's done it. Okay, so don't let all the blame fall on McCarthy when it's sometimes a guy on Beyond Scare Straight said it best. When it gets dark, I stand up. So when things start going bad, I'm gonna stand up and show you
right.
who I am.
And I was
needed Aaron Rodgers to stand up because it was starting getting dark in Seattle that game.
He could have done more too. But I'm just saying, like, we can't. It is football's a team sport as much as it relies on the quarterbacks first and foremost. Like, there are other factors. He brought that team back this past year, you know, from the 5-yard line with like 50 seconds and no timeouts, throwing to Jeff Janis.
That's his number one game
and
of all time. He did it with Jeff Janis.
And then
it was the only guy he threw
the defense,
ball
unfortunately, folds.
Let me
right
tell you
that.
Something.
That's
the,
your fault. You
the Seattle game is not on Rodgers at all.
How are you winning by,
they
how are you
they,
winning by what, two touchdowns?
They went down 3 points. Don't forget, they lost the
and
lead.
And then he went down and they kicked the field goal.
He drove them down the field.
He didn't kick the field goal, though.
All right. Well, that was a nails drive when everything was going against you.
When he had a bum calf.
The onside kick.
Oh, my God, a bum calf.
The onside
oh my
kick
goodness.
And the ridiculous two-point conversion that hit the highest cloud over Seattle that day before the guy caught it. What ha-ha, Clinton Dix. That game was the flukiest, weirdest game of all time. And then the Arizona game. He should have won two road games that the rest of his team let him down.
Not let him down. They shouldn't have been in that tight of a game anyways. The Cardinals played like poo that game.
Here's the terrible 2015 of Aaron Rodgers. completes over 60% of his balls, throws for over 3,800 yards, 31 touchdowns, 8 picks. What a C. He's not
That's
there.
Bad. He's lost a step.
Boy, yeah. He's
hey, Shaq, did you hear what we said about – so when you run a 40, right, say if you run a 4.3 and then you run a 4.5, they're like, oh, he
this
lost a step.
Good,
he doesn't have
point.
It anymore, right? But if you have a guy like Frank Gore who runs a 4.6 – Frank Gore can run a 4.8. It's still the same. He hasn't lost
right.
anything. He's still slow, right?
Like,
that's what people – it's unbelievable. That's what people think. Same with Aaron Rodgers. So you have a really good year. So I'm telling you, if Bortles doesn't throw 35 touchdowns or more next year, oh, he's lost it.
Which is he's probably not. I mean, I think 30 would be a good spot for him again next
year. I don't
even
think 30. To be honest, I think it's going to be around 25.
That defense is going to be better. They want to run the ball
exactly.
more.
Like,
I think that is a fascinating point that you've made before,
but no, that
Maurice,
was great. I love
is,
when I heard
is
you say that.
That existing running backs in the NFL who are held up as the gold standard are obviously much slower, have a much lower 40 time than they ran when they were at the combine.
The combine, there you go again.
That's what it's called.
Somebody tweeted me about that, like that's the proper
well, because that's catching on, and because it is the correct pronunciation.
No, it's called a combine.
I know what they call it, but that doesn't make it right, Maurice. Please, be on the right side of history with this.
I'm just trying to keep it real, Shaq.
I'm keeping it real, sir. Combine. That's how you say it.
What is a combine then?
A combine is a piece of farming equipment that separates the wheat from the chaff. Now, the fact that it does that makes it an intriguing thing that in Indianapolis, that's what you're really doing. You're separating the football-playing wheat from the chaff. But they're not that clever to have thought of that in advance. Mm. It's combine. Combine is a group of people doing one thing. That's what a combine is, which sounds closer to accurate there.
I think it's
all right.
A combine.
Last thing, fellas, before Cardell and Von Bell make the scene here, rules changes. A few of these rules changes, are any of these set in stone? They're not going to change the aforementioned pass catch rule.
You know why they didn't change that?
Why?
So we could talk about it. Because it just only makes sense to get black and white. See how this table's gray? That's what the catch rule is.
Yeah. Let me tell you something.
It is.
John Harbaugh is 100% correct that we have the technology. It's just a matter of will to evaluate every play. And people say that'll slow the game down. No, it won't. Because in real time, don't you sit around watching the games as Maurice and Gelhar, we watch the games together on Sundays.
I wish they'd be longer.
And, well, first of all, yeah, would that be the worst thing in the world if the games took an extra 10 minutes? I don't think anybody would really bellyache, one. But two, except on the East Coast on Monday and Sunday nights, maybe they wouldn't love that. But either way, the technology exists. When you sit there and watch the game in real time, everybody says collectively, like, oh, that wasn't a catch. You know, you see the first replay, like, oh, no, he didn't. That ball hit the ground. And everybody in the room knows it. It's sadly ironic that the only people watching the game at a given time who don't know whether it was a catch or not are the referees. I'm not just talking about the catch rule. I'm talking about anything. Did he get both feet in bounds? As soon as you see a replay, most of the time you can say, yeah, he got that. Imagine in the nerve center in New York City or anywhere else, or I don't care, buried a mile beneath Kansas somewhere, wherever you want to put these guys, watching this tape. In real time, like, all right, they have access to the things. They could just say to the referee on the field, like, in his ear, like, yeah, that was a catch. Or, you know, and that would be it. Right. And the referee would just like, all right, catch. That was it. We got the word from the thing. It would take no time whatsoever. The cockamamie, stop the game and throw the red flag. And now we got to go to the booth and let's wait and take a commercial break. That's what delays it. In real time, you could have the answer inside of 4 seconds.
The ref could just be like, hold on.
Yeah.
New York, what's the ruling? They look at the angles. Good.
That's it.
And their rulings now in the catch rule, even though they had Dean Blandino's played again, are super gray. There's the whole has to establish himself as a runner thing. But we saw numerous plays. Devonta Freeman had a touchdown like that where he dove for the end zone that got stripped. Tyler Eifert had a touchdown like that. Odell Beckham had one in the end zone, caught it
two feet down,
and then somebody swatted it out, and that wasn't a catch.
Too much gray.
And I'm like, what? 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 I don't know.
It's just plumb loco. I don't know what else to say about it.
I'm glad fantasy doesn't have as much gray.
Yeah.
It's just black and white, babe.
Maurice, any rule? Oh, so all chop blocks are illegal?
Broncos. Is it for the offensive guy, you can't cut a defensive guy, but can a defensive guy cut an offensive ball carrier? What about my knees?
That's right.
I'm just saying. You want to protect everybody. Just take away the low block and low tackle, and we'll see what happens. And then I guarantee you people will go back to low tackling immediately. Mm-hmm.
We're really getting closer to flags, and I'm not saying that that would be the worst thing in the world, but we really are getting closer to flags. Like, the more that you reduce this this strike zone, the crazier the game's gonna get. So on and so the double multi personal foul rule, and you're out of the game, so on and so forth. What do you think, Maurice? I start with you. One rules change you would like to see. Or Gelhar, you can jump in, either one.
I think I would like the kickoffs to go back and make it a play. Go back to what it was and make it a play. Because so many times, you know, I just remember when I first played, kickoff return was such a big important part of it, right? Because you can change the momentum of a game.
Absolutely.
You can win a game on a kickoff return, return it to the other 30. Now you don't even get a chance to. They kick it out of the end zone every time. So what's the purpose of even having it? Just take it away.
Yeah.
Just flip a coin. You started at the 20.
I'll say something controversial now. In football terms, controversial. I feel like I like the kickoffs too if I have no rooting interest. But there's nothing worse than being a fan, or I'm sure a player, and losing a game that you win otherwise because a special teams play goes.
Oh, no, that's the best part about the game. That's see what people fail to realize.
I know.
Offense and defense, yes, it's the majority of the thing, but special teams plays the biggest role.
I know, but it's got a fluke factor
to it,
don't
you know?
Those scores make it fluky.
Think about the Super Bowl, right? How did Denver really win that Super Bowl? Defense and special teams. Because guess what? They flip the field position. It becomes a chess match.
Those hidden yards, as they're always called, are so important.
Exactly. And so what happened was, when Carolina's starting from their 15, their 10, their 19, every time they can't get anything going, then Denver's starting from the 30, the 40.
I was sitting in that end zone and felt real close to Cam Newton because he was always right in front of me there.
I don't think that – well, I mean, I wouldn't get rid of those things. I'm with you. But I do – I just am stating that I find those losses the most devastating for watching Steelers games. When they've lost games – the year the Ravens won the Super Bowl, they came into Heinz Field, did the Ravens. Julio Jones returned – I mean Julio Jones. Jacoby Jones returned one for a touchdown. That swung the season. The Ravens wouldn't have made the playoffs. Steelers would have if you just flipped that play.
And
forget that game.
That's how important that kickoff return is.
That's a fluke.
Yeah. For example, last year – but this is the last thing because I know it's almost time to go.
Yeah.
The Raiders last year played the Steelers, and the Steelers won, right? Mm-hmm. The Raiders had – 3 fumbles, 2 on offense and 1 on the kickoff return, and Pittsburgh winning the score. Pittsburgh won the game by 3. So imagine if that didn't happen, if you take it away, that didn't happen. What happened?
I don't love
Pittsburgh
it.
Pittsburgh loses.
The counter to that is that the most – well, I was going to say most exciting play, or at least up there in the ranks of pro football, is the kickoff return for a touchdown. The most exciting, though, block punt.
No.
Block punts.
Most exciting is field goal on the line. Game on the line, kick a field goal. Because then you can get the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns, Baltimore Ravens
block
game.
Off.
The block off.
That's
there's nothing
the
more
20,
exciting than
way.
That. There's nothing more exciting than that. Because it's awesome.
Gelhar,
it was such
rules
a turn.
Change and most exciting play now.
Overtime. I don't know what the perfect fix is, whether it's just a certain period of time you play. College rules where each team
now that doesn't do it.
But there's just something frustrating about. And
no,
the
it's
rules,
not.
The rules
you have,
now.
Everybody gets paid. Listen, you
what
pay
does that
guys
mean
on
everybody gets
you get
paid.
Paid guys on defense to stop the offense. If they don't do it, that's their fault.
I know, but
it's unfair. Happened. People get stopped. Life ain't fair.
You know what it should be? I'll tell you the answer. I've solved this already. The fifth quarter should be a full fifth quarter.
No,
that's it.
No.
I would be down with that.
And then it's a draw. Because what happens when Philly did it in Cincinnati is a draw.
So then you get some more ties. That's all. Maybe you get a couple more ties. That's not the worst thing in the world.
It's not the end of the world.
They should just flip a coin. You call heads or tails then.
And what do you mean? No, this is
a good play. Heads or tails, game on the line.
What I'm proposing is fairer than
not.
What it is now. That
no,
is – you're definitely getting the ball
at least
back.
You get a 50-50 chance. You go – it's even.
Look. Like you said, the offense and defense both get paid. Then if that's the case, then they should get paid for another quarter, and they can stop and get the lead and win.
No.
Most
you
exciting
get paid.
Play, Gelhar.
I'm kind of on the line with like a field goal with the game on the line, but I would rather see it like fourth down in the red zone, game on the line. You know, like we saw with the Super Bowl, Ravens-Baltimore Super Bowl, because then there's more variables. Like the field goal is really exciting, and you get the blocks and stuff like that, but – is it a run? Is it a pass?
Fourth and inches is pretty good.
Fourth and inches is good too.
No, it's not, because
when you get the stop,
sneak.
Or like I would like I want fourth and goal from like the 8 or something.
No,
like
that's
that.
What
I'm not talking about I'm not talking about the situation that's exciting, but the result from the situation that's most exciting is when it's fourth and inches and the opposing team goes for it and your team stonewalls them. That might be the most.
Or
exciting.
If I could say an argument for just a most exciting situation is like a 2-minute drill or like a game-winning drive. There's so much drama. There's so much out.
I'm telling you, when the guy that hasn't been on the field all game has to come on and win the game, that's nerve-wracking. I'm looking at Scobie like, so how are you feeling?
Don't bring up Scobie, please. You know that's a sore spot.
Are you kidding me? If he didn't get hurt last year, he'd have been fine.
Defending Scobie to a Steelers fan. That's a losing proposition. By the way, the correct rules change. I've said it a million times. I'll say it for the million and first. It's a two-part fix to the kicking game. One, we need to box the goalpost, so now it's a full-on square or a rectangle.
Right.
Then you know. Then there's no gray area at all, and it makes it more difficult. The standard that these guys can just boot the ball as hard as they can and it soars up high over the goalposts, now it's like, now raise the standard by lowering how high they can kick the ball. Like, they have to kick it through the box will make it more difficult. It's too easy for these guys to make field goals. And also, speaking of that, we should make it that you have to play 5 plays from the line of scrimmage in order to be eligible to kick the ball. This will get rid of all the 5'3" guys running out onto the field who aren't football players to kick field goals. Why don't I get a role in the game if we're allowing anybody who's not a football player out there to decide things? Then Damashek gets a turn.
No, Shaq, that's not how it's going to work. The one rule I do agree with, though, is eliminating preseason overtime.
Yeah. Oh, get that out.
Best rule going.
You could have just ended it preseason. You could have put a pre.
No, I like overtime.
I'm saying we don't need preseason.
No. You need preseason. You need practice. The owners make $200 million a week on preseason games.
I know, but say I would think you would take the player side of that and be like, yeah, but I'm getting hurt as a result of that.
You can get here working, walking across the street.
One preseason game will be more than enough suss out if these rookies and free agents are good enough.
No, you need four.
You don't need four, Maurice. I'm looking out for you or for your
I'm not there
successors.
Anymore, so I'm looking out for these pockets.
All right. When are you back on Path to the Draft, Maurice?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. So be on the lookout for Maurice Jones-Drew, and that'll be all the way up and through the draft, Mondays and Tuesdays.
Mondays and Tuesdays.
Ike's going to be coming in to join you in a little bit. NFL Now, you can watch Maurice. And, of course, like I say, fantasy and otherwise. Oh, and the top 20 games of 2015. At NFL.com. Make
and
sure you check that.
And he officially works here, too.
I do.
He does.
It's been proven.
He does, in fact, work here. Now, as these guys step out, coming up, two prominent Ohio State Buckeyes from that 2014 national championship season, Cardale Jones and Von Bell, come on into Studio 66.
You'll listen to Dave Damashek. You'll listen to Dave Damashek.
Not one, but two Ohio State Buckeyes, the Ohio State Buckeyes, Cardale Jones, Von Bell. What's the poop, fellas?
Not much. I'm chilling.
Yeah, how about you, Cardale?
Just chilling, enjoying this weather.
Are you enjoying it so far? It's a little humid, though. But you look nifty nonetheless, Cardale.
Appreciate it.
It's a nice tie you have.
Look at him.
Von, a little bit more casual,
yeah,
no tie. What are we going to do on draft day, fellas? Von, what do you have your outfit all planned out now?
Not yet.
No.
Something special coming soon.
Are you going to be in Chicago?
Yeah.
You're going to be up there?
Yes, sir.
You're bringing the gang with you, too?
Your mom, family.
Very nice.
We'll need a gang.
Well, here's the big thing that we got to talk about in advance. You know, it's a big moment when they announce your name. I don't want you guys now turning to your agent and kissing your agent and hugging your agent before you do your mom.
You can't do that.
No, well, a lot of guys do it, and that's a bad look right out of the gate.
You got to hug your mama first.
That's right. Thank you. Cardale, what are you going to do for the draft?
Chilling at home.
What do you think? I don't want to – listen, I don't want to get down – you know, to get into a dark place or anything. But what do you think about – people have asked you this a million times. Do you feel like in the last year, are you like, man, I wish I would have gone. I wish I would have put my name in there in 2015.
No, of course not.
No.
Of course not.
Because why?
Because I feel like I wasn't ready.
Is that true? And now you feel better prepared?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
What's intriguing to me about you is, as opposed to a lot of these other QBs names that are floating around there, is a lot of these guys are expected to be, if they're getting picked, Goff and Wentz, they're supposed to be like, they got to go in there and they have to be the savior of a bum team. You could go to a team that's 3-13, but you also might land on a team that was in the playoffs last year. Has that occurred to you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course. We kind of weighed out all the options, and that'd be pretty sweet to, you know, get drafted to a team that has a kind of solidified, you know, quarterback who got a couple of years left, and, you know, go up, take me up under his wing and groom me to be, you know, never know, young Aaron Rodgers.
Here's what could happen in the first round. I wouldn't be surprised. And I mean this, too. I'm, by the way, I didn't mention this to you. I'm a Steelers fan.
Okay.
And so this could happen.
With their 25th pick in the first round, the Pittsburgh Steelers select Von Bell, Ohio State.
That could very well happen. What would be your reaction to that? Would you like the idea of that?
Yes, I would. Yeah. I might start crying.
Would you? Because would it be more emotional if it was the Steelers than, I don't know, the
any team.
Any team's going to make you weep.
It's what a blessing.
You've already planned that you're going to weep.
Yeah.
Is that true?
It's going to be a little tear come down.
What do you think, Cardell? Will you weep?
I don't know. I've never been drafted before, so we have to see.
That's right.
It's going to happen.
There's something weird about predetermine that it's going
to happen. I make sure there's no cameras around, whatever I do.
Yeah. Here's what I want to hear happen, and I've let the Pittsburgh Steelers know this. I want to hear this.
In the third round, with whatever pick it is in the third round, the Pittsburgh Steelers select Cardell Jones, quarterback, Ohio State.
Would that make you happy?
I'm going to tell them they should have picked me in the first.
In the first round. Listen, it could happen. I've been singing songs about you, man. I feel like – do you – tell me what you think, actually, Von, because you're watching this and he's being modest and nice and everything. But do you feel like – you hear the names Wentz and Goff and Lynch and all these guys – isn't it a little crazy that you aren't hearing the name Cardell Jones a lot more than we have been hearing it the last, like, you know, 6-8 weeks?
It is. Because I know he got a power form and most of all those guys there. So I know he could do. Been in practice with him. I seen him in the game, in big-time games. He won his big-time game. So I seen what he could do. So we're going to let the film tell the rest of the story. So I'm not really worried about it. He's going to take care of himself and God has a plan for him.
Have you ever, in practice or anything, have you ever picked off Cardell?
You can ask him. He probably got an interception off a tip pass.
You're gonna do me like that.
He probably got some type of interception, but he lucky. It was probably in 7-on-7 when I couldn't. You know.
It was team versus team.
Do you have the juice, Cardell, at Ohio State to say like, hey, Coach Herb, I want him off the field now. I'm not gonna be showing up like that. My guys can't intercept me out here. That's not good for my confidence, Coach.
Man, but, no, of course not. I want the.
I'm running all the way to the touchdown. Flipping.
No, I want to not just play against the best. I want to practice against the best, and he's definitely one of the best. I mean, his numbers, his accolades speak for himself. He's All-American this year.
Well, listen, the rich history of Ohio State defenders there now about to get even better when the draft rolls around here. What is the dumbest question people have asked you outside of this little conversation we're having here? What's the dumbest question that a team has asked you so far?
Really nothing dumb. They just always want to test my IQ and how smart I am and my challenges of the game. So I haven't really got any weird or inappropriate questions.
Did they ask you – because we were talking to somebody the other day. We were talking to Shaq Lawson, and he said somebody asked him who the fourth president of the United States was. Did you get that one?
No, I got like, what is the big rainforest in South America. And that was about
really?
It. Yeah.
That seems unnecessary to throw that one. Did you guys know that one of our presidents, William Howard Taft, the really fat guy, do you know that he loved milk so much that he had a cow living on the White House lawn?
That's no, I didn't
true.
Know that.
That's true. Wow. If you get a question from a team about a president, throw that back at them and say, bet you didn't know that. We're even now, team.
Yeah, that you would be pretty even on that one.
Yeah. Did you get any weird questions?
I did.
Yeah.
They asked me, was I a cat or a dog?
And?
I'm a dog.
A cat. Nah.
I'm a dog.
You shouldn't have started off by lying to no team. You shouldn't do that.
I'm not going to respond to him. Dave, you got anything else?
Cardell. I mean, what would be like, it feels like the only answer you're supposed to give there is dog, right? Like a cat. What's the virtue of being a cat as a football player?
Always
you're scared.
Okay, you know what? Cardell's right. He solved that riddle, right? You land on your feet, right?
He's thinking outside the box.
Also, emotionless. Is that a good way to be? To be a cat, like you don't care about stuff. You don't get emotional about stuff.
I mean, I want to say that, but it's a good way to.
I feel like they're always on the attack.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something seriously. You were the face of that Buckeyes team a couple years ago. That whip. Bama and did all – I mean, it was – people didn't think it was going to happen beforehand. You did that. And the whole time you were smiling and America loved it. Don't ever stop doing that. Don't listen to the jive about people like, oh, that, you know, K- Cam Newton shouldn't do this, or quarterbacks can't be happy out there. Keep on smiling. It was so charming, was it not, Von?
It was. It's like having fun out there with your brothers, and keep on enjoying it. Don't worry about the outside world.
Don't let these curmudgeons tell you how you have to. That's nonsense. You know, be delightful the way you've shown yourself to be. That must have been quite a trip for you to be from, like, you know, not playing 3 weeks and then suddenly you're on the cover of every magazine. You're the Sports Center interview and so on and so forth. Huh?
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. But I mean, of course, I'm a smile. That's my personality. And we were winning. That's why I was smiling. So, unfortunately enough that, you know, I never lost a game. So, you haven't seen me.
He's undefeated.
My reaction.
Does he bring that up?
No, he doesn't.
No.
It never comes up.
Nah.
Oh, come up all the time before me.
He undefeated still, so.
That's right. You should brag about that all the time. Who's the best celebrity or football guy you've met in this whole process?
I'll say Phillip Rivers.
Phil Rivers was the coolest one, huh?
Yeah, just to get his insight and pick his brain a little bit and to see how he works, I definitely say Phil Rivers.
How say you, Von?
Marcus Gilchrist.
Of all the people in the world, Marcus Gilchrist.
I was just by myself at training in Boca Raton, Florida. He trained at the same spot, and we just picked each other's brain.
Well, that's pretty cool, yeah.
And Mark Ingram, too, yeah.
That way, yeah.
I had a couple guys down there.
Very nice. Who, if they make the movie of your life, do you want to play you, Cardale Jones? I start with you.
Myself. I'm playing myself.
I like that.
I'm about to say to myself. I got to play myself.
Who would do better if you guys switch positions? Who would be – would you, Von, be a better who would thrive in that way?
Me. No way he can be a quarterback. No way he can be a quarterback. You're too small.
Too small?
Can't throw.
Russell Wilson.
You're pretty smart, but you can't throw. And I'm just coming downhill, knocking heads off. And
I could throw.
Already, I'm already going to look at what a quarterback is thinking about.
Look at that. See, he knows how to warm that thing up.
You know what I'm saying?
No way.
Who's more handsome?
Come on, son.
Yeah.
Well, see, he said, all right, but listen.
Come on.
I'm going to say, I give Cardale's outfit the victory here. That's what I'll say.
Because he got the tie on, too.
Hey, have you guys ever seen that show Inside the Actor's Studio? Where James Lipton, he's a bearded fella, and he interviews famous actors up on a stage. Never seen it?
No, sir.
Anyway, so he asks a series of questions at the end of each one. I think we should do it. It's sort of like, you know, it's not a Wonderlic test. It's just to get to know you a little bit.
Okay.
First, I'm going to go with you, Cardale. What's your favorite word?
12.
Ooh, Von.
VBA.
What's your least favorite word, Cardale?
23.
Why 23? I don't get it.
I ain't going to even say it.
What's 23?
That's what I'm going to do.
There's 22 guys.
Tyvis Powell, my other safety.
I got you. Okay. What, Cardale, and be careful here now, what turned you on?
Watch a film.
Really? Yeah. Oh, spread that out. Send it out to the 32 teams. They're going to love that answer. Von. Just say ditto, because that's a good one. That's a good call.
Ditto.
Just before you get drafted, that sounds ditto. Good, you know? What turns you off, Cardale?
Losing.
Yes, I hate losing.
Listen, Von, I don't want you to take all the blame. Let him go first. I like, see, Cardale, this is also, I'm going to give this tape to all the teams, too, because clearly you've shown yourself to be a leader here. Look at Von taking your answers like that. All right, Cardale. I mean, now, Von, what sound do you love?
What sound?
Yeah.
Confetti falling.
What is it?
Confetti falling.
Oh, I didn't realize. It's pretty noisy when the confetti starts going up.
Right.
Cardale, I'll say you. I like that, though. I hear what you're saying.
My daughter laughed.
Ah, that's very nice. What sound do you hate, Cardale?
Booze.
Your baby crying. That's not a good sound. Yeah, booze is no good.
My mama mad.
Well, now are you gonna now use this going forward? Like, if she tries to get mad at you, be like, "Now wait a second, you should just always have like on your cell phone a picture of you getting drafted. Like, now wait a second before you yell, remember this now. Remember
right.
this? This was
right.
pretty exciting.
Yeah, right?
What profession would you want to have? Would you like to try if you're not going to be a football player?
Basketball,
baseball.
Why aren't the Buckeyes in the tournament? That's a little big drop-off there. But, you know, I went to Indiana University. We didn't have any trouble getting back to the tournament this year.
Y'all beat my guys.
Yeah, and really, I think you guys should really apologize, both of you, to me for you know, I mean, come on. The Hoosiers really had you down in Bloomington this year.
Stop.
No.
But they had you.
Stop it.
Zeke Elliott made that one long run, but still,
he
really.
Had about three of them.
Yeah.
And not defend the pass.
And we didn't have our – but we didn't have our QB by the end of the game or our running back. What about that?
Excuses. Remember you told me before the show.
Bitten by my own snake. You're right. What profession would you not want to have, Cardell?
Maybe race car driver.
I wouldn't want to have that one either, yeah.
Hockey.
I don't know.
Because you ain't tough enough.
I don't know. No, it's not because
tough
of toughness.
You ain't tough.
It's about the skating on ice.
I think it would be boring to – yeah, I hear you on – wouldn't that get boring to drive the whole day?
Yeah, boring and dangerous, going around and being 180 miles per hour.
You're right. It's
three different cars. No, it ain't.
It'd be tedious on one hand because it'd be so boring, but then on the other hand, you might hit the wall at any given time. So
pretty
it'd
scary.
Be nerve-wracking, too.
Yeah.
Who wants either one of those things? Yeah, football's a better way to go. If heaven exists, Vaughn, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive?
You pretty much accomplished everything. I walk in.
It's not going to be better than what you did on Earth, Vaughn, but come on in anyway. Something like that is what you want. Yeah, how about you, Cardell?
I want to play that dun-dun-dun-dun, da-da, da-da. Yeah, play that music. And like, you know, we got a little special handshake. What up, 12?
Really?
Yeah.
I love it. So they're going to play the Monday Night Football theme as you come in,
yeah.
And then God's going to give you a special handshake.
Handshake and say, what up, 12?
Now the party can start.
Yeah.
Now the Cardell's here, everybody. Get ready. 12's arrived here. You seem proud of 12. How did you arrive on that?
Just the name 12 Gauge and just shorten a little bit and start calling 12. So.
12 is the best number to wear as a quarterback with the possible exception of 7. 7's a good one.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
You know why? Let me show you why. Because the number 7,
touchdown.
It looks like an – well, that's true too, but it looks like an arrow pointing upwards. If somebody has 12 wherever you go, try 7. And you can tell them why we did that.
I don't know about that one.
I think about it. Yeah, I might have to buy 12 from someone, but we'll see.
All right. Well, listen, fellas, delightful to meet you guys. Good times lay ahead for you up in Chicago next month. We'll be looking for it. Like I say, I'll be very happy if I see one of those Steelers executives hand in both of you guys black and gold jerseys. Maybe they'll even trade up to get you in the first round so that you'll get that too. Either way, good stuff, Von Bell, Cardell Jones. Thanks for the time, fellas.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Dave, da 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 don don't, Dave.
All right, so there they go. Arjuna behind the glass.
What's up?
Do you feel that Cardell maybe didn't like that I said third round?
Yeah, I think he wanted first round.
As I said, as it came out of my mouth, I realized like, oh yeah, you're not thinking third round for
right.
yourself.
Or at least go second if you're going with his teammate.
I should have done
first
that.
Round, you know.
I should have done that, but that wouldn't be realistic. And you know the no jive policy.
I do know what you're saying, Shaq.
By the way, Arjuna, you get the credit. Nice job putting together the Batman versus Superman piece that we got at NFL Honors, where we asked all those players. We encourage you, Nate, demand that you track it down. I'm on Facebook now as a what do you call it? A public figure. Yes, that's where you should track it down. Go there, Dave Damashek. Obviously, is how you. You find me there, or I think even just Damashek. If you search that, it'll pull me up. I don't know how it works. Whatever.
Who knows?
That video's up there. A bunch of other Who in applesauce for you. And is this right, Arjuna? On Thursday, we have Josh Norman and T.J. Ward.
That's correct.
On the books.
That's correct. We're going to sit down with T.J. Ward, yourself, and MJD.
Oh. Cousins
to talk about, you know, whatever, the Super Bowl and whatnot, and then we also have Josh Norman.
That's awesome. And I'm going to tell Josh Norman what I told Greg Olson. I feel like I got in their heads because they got that big they did the whole like no one outside this locker room believes in us thing going towards
right.
the end of the year. And I told Josh Norman at media night before the Super Bowl, I don't believe in him, just to see, you know, like to help him. Like I'm sorry, I told him I did believe in him. That's what I told him. But I also told Von Miller that. So it was even. It's not like Panthers fans shouldn't get upset with me because I told Von Miller, I believe in you now.
And then he had an MVP performance.
See? So I'm going to have to bring that up to John. But I told Greg Olson a couple weeks ago when he helped me get shaved my beard. I told him that I was – I now do believe in – oh, no. I told him I did believe in him before the Super Bowl and the Panthers, and then they lost, so now I'm back to not believing in them.
So you don't believe in them anymore?
I don't believe in them anymore. So I'm going to have to update Josh Norman on that fact.
Gotcha.
Might be uncomfortable.
Yeah, it might be interesting.
All right, so anyway, Josh Norman and TJ Ward. Oh, it's going to be grand. We hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.